Have you seen that face before? If you've ever had a dog or even just been around a dog, you've seen that look on their face, right? With the head cocked sideways, kind of looking at you. I always wonder, so what's going through their little brain at that moment, right? The way I figure it, they must be deeply curious about what we're doing. We must be a mystery to them, and they're trying to figure out, why in the world are you doing that? Oftentimes I've seen it when I sat down at the table, right? Sit down, put the napkin down, pick up the utensils, and the dog's like, why are you wasting that much time? Just dig in, I do. It just doesn't make sense to them. Now, say, I say the same thing about cats, but cats don't care. They just want to get back to their nap and shedding everywhere. Right? But dogs care, right? They are right beside us. They want to know what's happening in our lives. They want to be loyal and friendly to us. But we do things at times that make them go, huh? What are you doing? I feel that way with God sometimes. I feel like at times I just sort of cock my head sideways, look up in heaven, go, what? I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't understand what he's doing or why he's doing it this way and not a different way. It seems that God has a different method about accomplishing things that are just simply beyond my comprehension. Certainly not the way that I would choose to do it. So case in point would be Christmas. So let's pretend for just a moment that you have never read the account of Jesus' birth. In your wildest dreams, would you ever script it the way that God accomplished it? There's not a chance. So to these unknown couple that's displaced from their home, that travel down to another small little town, and they give birth to their firstborn son, not surrounded by family and friends, but by animals in a stable. Never would we script it that way. And now, looking back, though, we can see that that is the grandest and greatest way that God could enter our world. He entered our world in a way that everyone could relate to, everyone could understand, and there'd be no doubt that God came for all people. From the lowest to the highest, God came for all people. You see, part of the miracle of Christmas is the miracle of the method. How God came into our world and how God chose to save our world. This morning, let's delve in and try and understand a little bit, or at least get to know more about God's method of doing things. The first thing that we discover is this: God's method transcends us. We just start out. We're trying to understand how and why God does something, and His thoughts, his way of doing things, it transcends us. We simply can't take it all in. This is what Paul was trying to get at in Romans chapter 11. Listen to these words again. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. So the depth of God's wisdom and knowledge, the richness of his wisdom and knowledge. He says, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. In other words, we're not going to understand the decisions he makes. We can't even fathom some of the decisions he makes. And if we're trying to keep up with him and the things that he's doing, we don't stand a chance because he's that far advanced from us. In fact, God himself clued us in. Through the prophet Isaiah, he said this. He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God says, you're trying to comprehend something that you can't. God says, go out and look at the sky. As high as the heavens are above the earth, that's how much different my thoughts are here. My ways are different than your ways. My thoughts are different than your. His thoughts transcend us. I think what happens is sometimes we try and figure God out because we try and bring God down to our level. And so we impose upon God our thought process, our rationale, our logic, the way we would do things. And then when God doesn't do it that way, then we get confused, frustrated, and sometimes even angry with him because he's not following the script that we would have written out for our lives. We don't get it. So the first thing we need to understand is that God's method transcends us. He's got something else totally in mind. Let's take a look at three examples from Scripture where I'm certain those involved, as they were going through it, had to be mystified as far as what God was doing. We'll start with Abraham. So Abraham, God comes to him and says, hey, Abe, listen, I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave where you're living. Now, guess what? I'm going to give you an incredible land to live in, and your descendants are going to be as numerous as the stars in the sky. And Abe looks up and goes, stars in the sky? Wow, Sarah, pack the bags. We're going, right? So off they go on the great adventure. Where are we going, God? Don't worry about it, God says. Just go, just go. And so he goes. Is this the place? Just keep going. Is this the place? Keep going. Hey, are we going to start having kids? Because there's a lot of stars in the skies, if you know what I'm talking about, God, right? 80 years old, 90 years old, 95 years old, no kids. Really, God? What are you going to do now? I'm 98 years old, numerous as the stars. Didn't understand. How about Joseph? You remember Joseph, his brothers got ticked off at him, rightfully so as far as I'm concerned. They throw him in a pit. They sell him into slavery. He gets booted off into Egypt. And just about that time, he bounces back. He lands a great job. He's working for Potiphar. Everything's going well. He gets falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. He lands in prison. And he says to himself, really, God? In the grand scheme of things, this is how you're going to work it out? This is how I get rewarded by being faithful to you and resisting? This is it, huh? Didn't make sense to him. How about even our couple, Mary and Joseph, right? Mary turns up pregnant. They're not married. Now, the angels explained it to Mary and Joseph. They know. They understand. They got it. No one else knows. Couldn't you have whispered it to mom and dad? All right? They didn't get it. How many times did God's people say, God, what are you doing? I don't get it. How many times have you and I said, God, what are you doing? I don't get it. Right? Because God's method, even in us, doesn't make sense at times. And sometimes we get frustrated, sometimes we get irritated, sometimes we get angry with God, but I think that's because we're trying to bring God down to our level. This is how I see it. This is how I would script it. This is my logic, my reasoning, my thought process. So the first thing we need to understand is that God's method transcends us. As far as the high as the heavens are from the earth, that's how different his ways and thoughts are. But here's the good news. God's method may transcend us, but God's method includes us. When God is fulfilling his plan, when God is fulfilling his will, he includes us, just regular, normal folks. But keep in mind that God has big plans. So you and I, we look at a moment in time, maybe a year, maybe 5 years. God is looking at all of history, and he's weaving together all of history to fulfill his purpose and his plan. We're looking at just a moment in time. Sometimes, if you look in the Old Testament, what God sets out to accomplish, he sets in motion, and we don't see the fruition until hundreds of years later. But God set it in motion back here to accomplish something here. But the amazing thing is God includes us in that. Just normal, everyday people are a part of his plan to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. Let's go back to our examples. So Abraham sets out, right? He's 100 years old. Finally they have a son, right? But from that son, God indeed builds a great nation from which the Savior of the world would be born. How about Joseph? Joseph goes through all this stuff, but he ends up second in command in Egypt, so that he saves his family, thus saving the nation of Israel. God weaving it together. Didn't understand along the way until you get to the other end. Go, oh, how about even Mary and Joseph? Mary and Joseph, they're just a nondescript couple from a little bitty town up north. Nobody would notice them, and yet God uses them to raise the Son of God. God uses just ordinary people to accomplish his purposes. Zero in again on Jesus' life. Just think about who God used. It wouldn't be who you and I would use. Who does he announce the birth of his son? If you and I were writing, well, get together all of the big shots, right? So heads of states, kings, queens, right? All the power people announce it to them. Now, he announces it to shepherds who got the night shift. That's it, right? And they spread the news about him. Let's even go forward to the resurrection of Jesus. So he's lived his life, his ministry. He's always said, listen, I'm going to die, but 3 days later, it's going to be raised back to life again, right? So his resurrection, right? Now, I'll tell you how I would script it. This is how the story would go if I were God planning this out, right? So very early on the first day of the week, the angels came down and rolled the stone away from the grave. Jesus saunters out, smirks at the two guards that have passed out from fright, walks straight to Jerusalem, up into the temple, right in front of the chief priest, all the other people that had accused him, had condemned him to death as a heretic, and then waits with a pregnant pause as they stare at him in disbelief. Told you so. You're in trouble now. That's how I would have wrote it. Not God. Jesus reveals himself to the women who are coming to care for him and loved him. Then he reveals himself to his disciples. Then he just reveals himself to the crowds of normal, average people. Because that's who God uses. He includes us in his plan. He includes you in his plan. Even when you get it, even when you don't understand it, even when you don't like it. God says there's something bigger here, and it's in play, and you're part of it. We don't understand his methods. His methods transcend us, but his methods include us. It includes you. You play a vital role in God accomplishing his will. Now, how cool is that? And all the time, God's methods then shape us. And usually it's during the rough times and the difficult times that really God makes us into the people that we are so that we indeed accomplish what he wants in our lives. See, God is continuously preparing his people. He's preparing us for the next thing. He's equipping us for the next thing. We may not know what that next thing is, but God's getting us ready for that. Let's go back to our three, Abraham. For over 100 years, God is getting Abraham ready for this moment. He finally now has his son, his one and only son. Now his son is a teenager, and God comes to him, and he says, listen, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son, your one and only son. He's had a lifetime of having his faith tested again and again and again till his faith is so rock solid that Scripture says he reasoned that if he took his son's life, that God would simply raise him back to life. A perfect foreshadowing of what our Father in heaven would do with his one and only son. So God doesn't ask Abraham to sacrifice his son. Instead, God himself would sacrifice his son. But he got Abraham ready for that moment. How about Joseph? Joseph goes through all this stuff, but he's in Potiphar's house, gets lots of training, right? Learns some good management organizational skills. He lands in prison. All of a sudden, those skills come into play. He sort of climbs the rank of prisoners, and all of a sudden, he's in charge of everybody else, and now he's equipped to be the second in charge of all of Egypt to guide them through the drought, to bring his family over, and to save the nation. But God was getting him ready for that moment in time. God's preparing and equipping his people. God is preparing and equipping you. I can't tell you how, and I can't tell you what for. All I know is that he is. His methods are beyond me, but I know that his methods include me, And his method then sort of gets me ready for the next step. So I rely on God's promises going along the way because I can't figure it out. The promise that says, never will I leave you or forsake you. God says that he's always there beside you. Even when you don't know it, he's there beside you, helping you through. The promise that says that all things work together for the good who those who love him, which means that God can even take something which was evil in your life and downright nasty, and God can swing that around to use for his purposes. And there's a promise that I don't think we pay a whole lot of attention to, although I do. I come back to it often in my own life. And it's a promise that's in 1 Corinthians 13. And verse 12 says this, "For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we'll see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully." I like the fact that someday I'm going to get it, because I don't get it right now. But God says that someday, my guess in heaven, we'll look back and go, oh, that's why that happened. Oh, that was terrible. Look how God turned that around. That was stellar. Oh, I see what God was doing here. Not right now. But the promise is that someday we'll see it and it'll make sense. Because right now, living this side of heaven, God's thoughts are way beyond our thoughts. He transcends us. But the good news is that he includes us, and he prepares us, and he gets us ready. So part of the miracle of Christmas, the miracle of God coming into our world, is indeed the miracle of the method. Amen. Stand and pray with me. Heavenly Father, I'll be the first to admit that I don't get it sometimes, and I probably cock my head and look up into heaven and go, I don't understand. But it's not about my understanding. It's knowing that your thoughts are above our thoughts and that your thoughts transcend us, but yet you still include us in your plans. We ask for the gift of your Holy Spirit to calm any anxious thoughts that we have, to build our faith and trust in you, with the assurance of your promise, even the promise that someday it'll all make sense. Case in point, as we look to the birth of your Son, may that inspire us, encourage us, and give us strength. In Jesus' name, amen.